I do it for the ladies, but I gotta keep it hood. Where we at, Polo? Hey! I see you, Ron. Yo, Keith, you was right. We just getting started. Yeah, man.
You say you're searching for somebody that'll take you out and do you right. Well, come here, baby, and let daddy show you what it feels like.
And a cocky Heat fan still coming out of the woodwork. Another cocky Heat fan texts in. Heat are fully loaded and healthy. They're a lock to be in the NBA Finals come June.
Come on, man.
A lock?
Come on.
Listen, okay, listen. We all know. Okay,
first off.
We like bets around here.
First off, that's
Solana. First of all, I don't think anyone in this room is taking that bet, so.
No, I'm going to take that bet against him.
Right, but I'm saying, like, you're not going to find someone in this room to go against you.
Oh, no, no. Right? I'll bet the Texer.
That's got to be either Tobin or Solana.
I agree. Thank you. Bingo. I agree.
Like, the thing with Solana is, I don't mean to blow up his spot. But
do it. No, do it.
I'm pretty sure with him at shtick.
Uh-huh.
With Tobin, I'm not so sure. Like, wait, with Tobin, I think he might be legitimately that cocky.
Tobin sounds like his shtick, but then if you really listen to him and look at him, you're like, oh, no, this guy really believes it.
I think he really does. With Solana, like, I don't mean to, you know, take people too far behind the curtain or anything. Like, I'm pretty sure when Solana says things like lock to be in the finals for the Heat, that he's trolling a little bit. With Tobin, I think it's 100% legitimate. With Solana, it's like 8% chance it's legitimate.
Facts.
No, he believes that.
Texture writes in, no way in hell Dono is getting laid at any convention, even a porn convention.
Oh, man.
I'm a happily married man. You
know, slander,
you don't need to be throwing this slander in my timeline.
Wow.
I'm a happily married man. Whenever I go to one of these Comic Cons, you know, you can look at the men, do some window shopping if you know what I mean. But I'm a happily married guy, Texter. Stop trying to put my business out there. Come on. Oh, man. 67974 is how you get at us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. But please don't text and drive. Let's get into some headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
We got the breaking news from the texter that the Heat are a lock for the NBA Finals. And they took a step in that direction last night. They beat the excellent, excellent Golden State Warriors. Like, this is, you know,
they beat the Western Conference champions.
That's right. Like, let's just pretend that these are the Warriors of 2018, not the Warriors of 2020.
San Francisco's LA Fitness All Stars,
bro.
Yeah, that's right,
bro. That was bad.
Yeah,
man. That was bad. Rashad, I mentioned something that the only reason why Curry and Clay might come back, why would they come back? And I'm like, the fans. If this was the old arena, the Oracle in Oakland, I think the fans would still go out and support them.
Oh, but Clay's not coming back.
But because of this new arena, like Bob, their general manager, said he could come back this season.
Wow. Clay already said he ain't coming back. He said, I'm not coming back this year.
Why would you?
But Steph's like, oh, I'm coming back in March.
Makes no sense.
What?
Exactly.
You got to put asses in those seats. That's a new arena.
Listen,
they got to get over that. Like, if you're talking about, okay, putting a few asses back in the seats for the final month of the season.
It's not real fans,
like,
man.
Yeah, but and also, like, you don't want to do that potentially at the expense from rushing one of the most important players in
Facts.
The league back too quickly. Like, you have to think about the long term. Okay, the timing of those injuries is terrible with the opening of your, you know, multi-trillion-dollar arena. I get that, but you don't want to rush back the most important players in your franchise, potentially getting these guys re-injured. It's ridiculous.
And what they gave you for 5 years, you guys can deal with a down year and still go see the team.
Big facts.
Come on, man.
So the Heat beat the Warriors 113-101 yesterday. They ended a three-game losing streak. They got the Utah Jazz. Good Utah Jazz tomorrow night, 9 p.m. on the road. That'll be the final game before the All-Star break. You probably heard by now, but Tyler Hero will not play in the Rising Stars game because of an ankle injury, so Colin Sexton of the Cavaliers will take his place. Florida Panthers lost last night 4-1 in Philadelphia. Let me pull up the score here. Okay, so the Panthers are up 3-1 in New Jersey.
Hey.
How about that? Yeah, the cocky Batman is back.
They're winning.
Yeah, Florida Panthers a 3-1 lead in New Jersey early second period. So by my math, they should win this game 7 or 8-1 by the time it's all over. They are on track for like an 8-3 victory by the time this thing is done. So in all seriousness, I love the Panthers. I hope they can bounce back tonight because despite their 4-game losing streak, they're still right there in the playoff standings because they're having this little contest with the Toronto Maple Leafs where who wants to be third place in the Atlantic Division less because every time it's like every time the Maple Leafs struggle, Panthers say, hold my beer, and vice versa. So they entered tonight just 2 points behind the Maple Leafs with one fewer game played. So they could be back. The Panthers could be back in playoff position by night's end if they can close out this victory. And I think in light of recent conversations we've had on this show, this is probably an appropriate headline. I think this is a great thing that they're doing. The porn site called Cam Soda. I've honestly never heard of it.
I have.
Gonna check it out.
The porn. And I love how you guys are reacting when I'm not even done with the story. Like I'm not just naming porn sites here. So the porn site Cam Soda is offering free webcam sessions to all the passengers quarantined on the coronavirus infected Diamond Princess cruise ship. That's a really nice thing they're doing.
That's a nice thing for them to do.
I'm sorry you're dying of a plague, but right? Here you can have like a free 9-minute cam session. Well, I probably only need 3 minutes, but here you go.
Yeah, Vlad was talking about 20 minutes later. 20 minutes?
Yeah, right.
Oh, man.
What? 20 minutes? Not you crazy? Man. Well, look, I don't get those type of sites. So, like, the cam soda's like, okay, so I'm going to talk to some chick I don't know on a webcam?
Right.
Like,
with coronavirus?
Are you kidding me?
Well, you've got it, not her in this case. I mean,
I never got those sites, man.
How
what if I do cough?
Cough three times
can
if you
catch
like
it?
Me.
Can you catch it through the webcam?
Oh,
what is
man.
This about?
Oh, man. Are you like, if you're infected with coronavirus, are you even like healthy enough to enjoy the webcam session?
Are you can you even be excited?
Like you got 104 fever, but oh my God, I got this webcam fired
up.
Yeah, but are the people on that cruise ship affected?
I don't know.
Because they're quarantined, I know that, but I don't know if they are all affected or they're just doing it because they came from there.
Hold on, let me.
That's a good question.
Let me look this up because I'd
we
like
both
to
got,
be.
What do you do? You tell us, hey, we both got coronavirus. Like, what's the worst can happen?
Yeah, you're right.
That is true.
You're right. You can use that one.
Hold on.
Well, you know, the end of the world's about to happen, so we might as well go out with a bang.
Okay, let me for the sake of accuracy. Oh no! Hold on. Oh, this is so annoying. I went to a website with a news article, but they're trying to charge me for the membership. They threw the paywall at me.
I hate that.
Always,
hold on,
man.
I hate that.
Miami Herald.
Okay, so
facts.
Here's a headline from the Washington Post. I think they'll let me read this story for it's not a paywall. It's they're asking me to subscribe. No, thank you. Maybe later. So the headline is Dream Job Turns Into Nightmare. Virus Fears Grow Among Diamond Princess Crew. Yokohama, Japan, Dateline. Crew members aboard the virus hit Diamond Princess cruise ship say they are terrified of catching the deadly coronavirus, yet aren't being afforded the same protections as the passengers they serve. 10 shipboard workers have been confirmed as having caught the virus.
Uh-huh.
So you have at least 10 confirmed, and others feel sick. So that's not a good sign. Although, I'm such a hypochondriac. If I were on that ship,
even if
I'm completely healthy, I would be having symptoms that are created by my own mind, right? Like even if I hadn't caught anything, I would be feeling all the symptoms. So others say they feel sick, but unlike the passengers, no effort is being made to keep the crew apart from one another. That sucks.
Put
that
some Tussin on it, man.
Man,
just tell them put some Tussin on
it. So even if you don't have it, they're quarantining you there, so you're most likely going to pick it up.
Right. So yeah, basically,
man, heck, no, basically I'm jumping in a lifeboat and getting out of there.
Wow, there are 1,035 crew members. I can't imagine how many passengers. There are over 1,000 crew members.
Oh no!
They're like forcing these people into tight quarters, quarantining them together. So you may have been perfectly healthy.
Yep.
And then you've got like Bob, the assistant chef, who's coughing with corona, and you're stuck in the same bunk with him.
That sounds
terrible.
It sounds like a movie, like Contagion or whatever that movie.
Outrageous,
yeah.
Oh, Outbreak. I mean, like, yeah.
Well, there's Outbreak,
with
and
the
then
monkey.
Wasn't it Contagion with Gwyneth Paltrow? I think her name is. Where they
look that up.
I'm not sure.
Where they were in the casino and it was passed from the glass, and all of a sudden they brought it over
to
the States.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, man, that junk's scary.
It is.
Did you see the guy flying? He was flying in like a plastic bubble.
Yeah.
No, what was that?
There was like an American pastor on a plane, and he was in like a plastic bubble.
Like the bubble.
And someone goes,
I guess I shouldn't be laughing. It's pretty serious.
Yeah, it's not that good that you have the hand slots and there's a slit in it to put your hand out so you can put your hand on the handrest.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, listen, you got to do what you got to do, man.
How long you got to stay in quarantine?
I don't know if it says. They might be, hold on.
You catching it, man.
Hold on.
Might as well, man.
Well, the thing that really sucks, I mean, at least they
just say screw it, huh, Vlad?
Yeah, yo, fam, if you quarantine with other people and you don't have it, but they got you in a quarantine, like any cough, anything, it's over. You catching it.
At least they get free webcam sessions, though.
But you get free webcam. Like, you want to see me how I deteriorate?
Have you ever tried to use the Wi-Fi on a cruise ship?
Like it's the worst.
You're buffering the entire time. Like, you're trying to see what the cinnamon with an S is doing on the other side of that video. And the whole time it's cinnamon like, oh, my S. God, it's buffering again. What the hell is happening?
This is why I don't go on
cruises.
That's
a moon kill.
See? This is why I don't go on cruise ships.
Totally.
That's a buzzkill right
now. Have you ever been on? I love cruises.
I've never been on a cruise.
You never been on a cruise?
Nope, for that reason right there.
I've been on one.
You ain't still one.
But it was
in the
a long
water.
Time ago. No I was way. Young. I might have been, I think, 13.
I was one.
Yeah.
I was in one. I went to one when I right after graduating high school. It was good, but it wasn't
cruises
great.
Cruises are fun, man.
Nah, man.
I don't trust Let me fly to the country we're going to.
Yeah, but it's different because, like, the ship is really fun, and it, like, it's convenient to just, it takes you to, like, four different islands. So it's
see,
once, you know,
actually,
a lot of variety.
I beg to differ because the club and the cruise is not like the clubs that you go to, and the atmosphere is not the same.
It's still pretty damn good for being on a boat, you know? Yeah.
There's a lot of little more older people than you really want to be around.
I think it depends on what kind of cruise you're on, though, probably.
It all depends on what
okay,
type of people
I can see that.
Are on your cruise.
And the
yeah,
crew,
yeah,
and your
yeah.
crew and the group
yeah.
of people
yeah,
that you
go to.
Yeah,
the crew is always key to, I heard. Like, if you get a nice young, like, crew, they make it more fun, a little bit more lax.
Okay, see, here's my fear. And the reason why I don't really like cruises, because one thing about me, I think, like, Final Destination
a
lot of times. And I just can't imagine being stranded out in the middle of the ocean.
Forget Final
happens.
Destination. I think of Titanic.
That, too. Correct.
Yeah, but I mean.
Titanic.
No, listen, I get it. But
probably not hitting any icebergs
open
in the
water. Open water. I think of that one, too, being out there, like, scuba diving, and all of a sudden look up, and the boat's gone. And I'm like, help? Anybody?
Yeah. You got to be really drunk to fall off that boat,
the people, that movie, people were hitting, like, ping pongs.
Yeah. And see, listen, another thing about me, I'm a busybody, too, to where I just don't like being confined in just one.
Have you seen the sizes of these ships, though? Like, you
don't, have,
you don't
man,
feel claustrophobic.
They are impressive. I will say
no,
that.
No,
I mean,
listen,
they are gigantic.
Listen, they are, but I just feel like with me, if I want to go somewhere at the moment, I want to have that freedom as far as, like, to leave the boat. Now, I understand the cruise ships, they dock, and, you know, you get a chance to, I guess, explore that country or whatever. But, man, one thing about me, I'm just too much of, like, of a busybody. Too much of a busybody.
I think, like, some of your other concerns, I think, are fair, but, like, those ships are so big.
No, they are.
Well, the one thing is, though, unless you, like, really pay top dollar for a room, your room might be kind of tight, but if you get like one of the bigger ones, it's, like, not that different than, like, a hotel room.
Yeah,
but if you try to pinch a few pennies, then you're gonna for a man your size, the room would be a little small.
Got you.
So you got to make sure you don't skimp on the room, right? you don't want to get one of, like, the interior ones. Like,
nah,
you
want to
get like you want to get like one of the deluxe rooms with the balcony, and then you'll be all right.
Because my feet will be hanging off that
pretty much,
bed.
Pretty much, man.
Yeah, just about.
Oh, man, 67974 is how you get us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line, but please don't text or drive. Coming up next, a couple of stats from the 2019 Miami Hurricanes that make me absolutely cringe and things that need to change in 2020. You're listening to Big Roundtable here on 790 The Ticket. Talk to me, man. It's your boy, Young Hope. If you turn them off, noise up. We can get right into the proceedings. Headphones at the start, bring it down a little bit. Okay, now we working with it. The boy face up and baseline, baby. Before we get into some Kane stuff, seen a lot of headlines and stories the last couple days about the trademark dispute between Inter Miami and, you know, the other Inter that I love in Milano.
Bro.
Yeah, so my two clubs are fighting. They're fighting. So I don't know. So the MLS and Inter Miami, they lose key argument in the Inter Milan lawsuit. But so here's what would be, maybe nothing comes out of this, but I think people overreact to this a little bit, because even if Inter and Milan were to win all of this, the end result would not be Inter Miami doesn't have to change the name of their club, right? Like,
okay.
That, I think that's a little bit of his stuff. Like, they don't have to, you know, Club Internacional de Football Miami, and even Inter Miami doesn't have to change. I think what Inter in Milan is fighting for is a trademark they filed in the United States just for the term, the word Inter, period, like being used as a mark. I think that's all it is. So, and to Inter Miami's credit, they already don't seem to even use that. Like, they're not making T-shirts that just say Inter on them. Like, they're not even trying to use
Inter Miami.
Right. Like, everything that they do says Inter Miami or Inter Miami CF. Like, it's not like they're printing up T-shirts and hats that just say Inter on it, because that's something that Inter Milan is desperately, and you know, fans of that club, we just call it Inter. Like, no one who cheers for that club says Inter Milan. Like, they just know them as Inter.
Yeah, yeah,
and they fight very hard for that trademark, and you've got to file these copyrights or trademarks, whatever it is, in all the various different countries, because everyone has different laws. So they're trying to establish that in the United States as well, where they don't want Inter Miami or whoever else just printing up merchandise that just says Inter on it. But Inter Miami doesn't do that anyway. So I do think that this whole story is being overblown a little bit, and some people are saying that, oh, if Inter Miami loses this, they're going to have to completely change the name of the club. I don't think that's what anyone is fighting for. Like, they're not going to have to change the name of the club. They just need to make sure, and they don't do this already, to not, you know, print up merchandise or try to create slogans where people just strictly refer to the club as Inter. I think that's all that's happening here. So people don't have to worry about that. And they have started training camp. But we're all soccer fans in this room, and Vlad
yes,
is
we are.
As well. It's hard to believe that, what is today, February 11th in what, 20 days?
Wait, is it March 2nd?
March 1st?
Oh, is it March 1st?
Yeah, they open on that's not the home game. Can't remember the date of the first home game, but they open up in LA against LAFC.
Right.
On March 1st.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Didn't they lose their
Did
striker?
Did not know that.
Lose their striker to an injury?
Yes,
for
the
2 months?
Argentinian kid. Yeah, they lost him to an injury.
Oh, great. Yeah. Already. But see, here's the thing. They didn't sign one of those sexy names that we thought they would.
Because they want to dangle that carrot in front of you.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, oh, we're going to get Luis Suarez. Oh, we're going to get Cavani, all this stuff. And I'm like,
March 1st.
Did we get anything?
Yeah, they're all coming on February 29th. Yeah. It is a leap year this year. Yeah, you get that extra
is,
day.
Yes,
you get the extra day to make it happen.
Yeah, you're right. March 1st against LAFC. It's on the four-letter. So first game.
Oh, nice.
Their first inaugural game. It's going to be big.
Did you guys see this week this video came out with David Beckham interviewing Neymar
on the handshake that's coming to Miami.
In like 10 years, he's coming to
Miami. Exactly. In 10 years.
Yeah. 10 years.
I just threw out that number randomly.
The team is still here.
In the future. It's got,
point.
And listen, I hope, I mean, obviously, David Beckham is a superstar. He's played for a ton of different teams. He has a ton of different relationships. Even younger guys like Neymar really look up to him and respect him. So I think at some point, whether it be, you know, this season or 5 years from now, you're going to see him pulling in some very, very big names. But in the meantime, you see a lot of names floated linked to the club, which is, I guess it's good for everyone, right? It's good for these players to get mentioned in conversations. It's good for Inter Miami to get some extra clicks. And, you know, it kind of good for media members who write about it. So, yeah, I mean, listen, for Neymar to pledge with a handshake that at some point in the future he's coming to Inter Miami – I don't know if that's 5 years down the road or 11 years down the road, but I guess it's nice to know that Beckham does have good relationships with some of these guys, because maybe eventually you see some bigger names in the twilight of their career come play down here. I'd love to see it.
Would you want to see a 40-year-old Cristiano Ronaldo playing for Inter Miami?
Well, he's my least.
Why not?
He's already my least favorite human being.
Don already hates him even more.
I mean, why not?
I would.
Yeah, why not?
Not 40 though, but like 37.
What is he now? He's like 34 right now.
Listen, bro, he just beat those legal charges in the United States. I don't know if he wants to
set foot
in this country anytime soon.
He does love Miami though.
He does love Miami too.
You're not playing in Lockhart Stadium.
Yeah. A few times.
Yeah, he loves Miami.
You're not playing in Lockhart Stadium if Ronaldo comes to Miami.
Listen, at the end of the day, to me, David Beckham's greatest selling point is Miami. To a lot of these players.
Totally. Like, you can retire here. Like, come on.
Yeah.
What? Even a young guy might be like, play in Miami, be the man. I don't mind that at all.
Correct.
Because we all know there's that 1 month period where every soccer player in the world
they come here
is in Miami on South Beach, like everywhere.
Yep.
So our guy, who's the most enthusiastic fan of 40 different teams, Manny Chang, I was talking to him the other day. And actually, Rashad, I think you were there. We were talking to him on Saturday, right? Uh-huh. Was that you who I was talking to him with? And he is like, not only and this is not me criticizing, I think this is great. He's already such a mega Inter Miami fan that he's in one of the official supporters group.
He is.
But what I find funny about it was, had a conversation with him the other day, and he was telling me about the really intense rivalry that Inter Miami has with Orlando City. But it's like,
Wait, what?
You never played a game.
I agree.
So, like,
you can't even call that a derby.
And apparently, Right. And apparently, like the official Inter Miami support groups, like they've already come up with like the songs and the chants that they sing. And apparently half of them are yelling obscenities at Orlando City fans.
Why?
It's like, what are you trying to man? Like, I get it. It's the team that's in your state. So you'd like to have a rivalry. And I think Inter Miami could very quickly end up better than Orlando City, by the way. That team's nothing to write home about. But how do you talk about having this intense rivalry when not only have your two clubs never played a game against each other, one of them has never played a game against anyone. I find that kind of funny.
You got to stir the pot up, man. You got to do something, right, to get this some. You got to get excited about something, right? Because if you asked any Inter Miami fan or just a soccer fan, name me two players on this team, no one would know. You really don't know any of them.
That's true.
I couldn't tell you one. I don't even know who the coach is.
I was looking through the roster
and he was here.
Today.
Yeah.
Oh, he was?
Oh, he was? Yeah, they had the announcement here in this, okay. In this building.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Did not know.
Yeah, it was like a couple of weeks ago.
Huh.
And we are big soccer fans in this room, too.
Yeah. We are.
And I couldn't name one dude.
Well, the three of us or the four of us probably.
European.
We're Euro snobs.
Yeah.
But it's like,
big time.
I'm totally ready to get into the MLS. Like, I'm totally ready for it. I just, since I haven't had a team, I've not had a reason to. I haven't had a team since the Fusion, but that was so long ago, right? Like, I've been looking for a reason to get back into the league, and now my key back into the door is Inter Miami.
Well, you know what? I tried living in Houston because we had the Dynamos, mm-hmm. and the time I played in Houston, the Dynamos were actually really good. But once I took that first trip, and saw like a European game in person.
Nothing's the same.
I couldn't do it. Yeah, it was just tough.
For me, it's the quality of play on the field, right? When you mm-hmm. watch European soccer, it's like, man, this is a beautiful game. I love it. And you watch MLS, you're like,
JV.
Man, come on, John Paul from Indiana University, hurry up, man.
I will say one thing though. I've watched a couple of. I don't even know if I've ever watched a full 90 of an MLS game since the Fusion were playing, but I have watched some spots here and there of. Like the what they call El Tráfico, the L.A. Derby, and the Seattle Sounders against the Portland Timbers, and the crowds get pretty lit for those games.
I'll give them credit.
The L.A. Derby, I kind of watched it last year.
Tráfico?
That was like going back
El Tráfico
and forth.
Was,
I was there.
Oh yeah,
oh, you went?
Yes.
Oh damn,
the first one, the first game because they played two games.
Well, it was
Zlatan
there.
Yeah, that's the fourth. Wait, I think that was the 3-3 game. That was his first. Yeah, that was crazy. Because a lot of the old Chivas Regal fans became LAFC fans. You know, and this is the time when the LA Galaxy was starting to come down. So the fact that this new team, LAFC, comes in and is causing a stir, and they had a great player, and who the leading goal scorer from MLS. So,
yeah.
And you had, you know.
Talking trash.
Carlos Vela is the guy.
Who is
Carlos Vela? Yeah. So, therefore, you had a lot of intrigue. And then now that Chicharito just signed with LA Galaxy mm-hmm. right now. So, mm-hmm. now they still have they're going to have a great El Tráfico. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to go to that this season because the day before that's the – Seattle-Portland rivalry, which is probably the biggest rivalry in the Northwest.
Yeah, like I've seen good portions of a couple of those games, and I give the fans a lot of credit. Like if you're just listening to the crowds, it sounds like crowds of big European leagues. Like I was really impressed with the way they support
their teams. It's crazy how they support their
now,
teams.
One city that has a huge following
Atlanta.
Already. Yes. So,
that's another one. I've watched some of their games, uh-huh. and the crowds in that dome go nuts.
Well, it's funny because
sold out.
So I was in Atlanta last summer, and I knew about Atlanta United. So I was actually staying downtown, and I walked to get something to eat from the hotel I was staying at, and I didn't know that was a game going on.
Oh man!
And man, I saw a bunch of Atlanta United fans in the jerseys chanting. Like, listen, they are about. That European life.
Oh, they about that life up there.
They are.
They about that life. But you know, listen, they got a nice, sexy new stadium.
They do. That's true.
Indoors, and then
we got the remodeled Lockhart, bro.
Great.
You got it covered here.
Great. Outside hot. You remember Charles Godfrey?
Yes.
Okay, so Charles Godfrey's a friend of ours, and he lives up there.
Okay.
And he wanted to check out the stadium, stuff like that. But the Falcons were always sold out when it was there. So a lot of people started purchasing tickets for Atlanta FC.
Uh-huh.
Because or Atlanta United, I think they are. They wanted to see the stadium. And all of a sudden they go to the games and they're like, this is actually fun. And more people started going to that game instead, and that actually fell in love with it.
Well, you know what? And when you go, because they play mostly on Saturdays, I think, that's your only chance to go to the Chick-fil-A in the stadium.
Yeah, because, you know, the Sundays is always closed.
Yeah, because I think it's so funny that they have a Chick-fil-A at the stadium, but they're, unless they're playing a Monday night or a Thursday night, they're never open when the Falcons play, right? So you go to the Mercedes-Benz Dome or Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You go there for a regular Sunday's Falcons game. They have a Chick-fil-A there, but you can't eat there unless you go for an Atlanta United game or for like a Monday night football game. I love that. Oh, man. So maybe we'll table this for the other side. So when we come back, we'll get into a couple of Miami Hurricanes news and notes, including what I for my money, this is probably the single most embarrassing stat from a season ago. You're listening to our roundtable. Alex Dono alongside Brian Monroe, Rashad Butler, and Vlad Lewisant here on 790 The Ticket.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop? I spit it through the wire, man. There's too much stuff on my heart right now, man.
Back here on our roundtable on 790 The Ticket, Alex Dono, Brian Monroe, Rashad Butler, Vlad Lewisant with you till 10 o'clock tonight. Flying by so far, man. Yeah, earlier around 7 when Dan Day was in for some day spa headlines, talked about a couple of camels on the loose in Biscayne Beach.
Yeah.
You know, and I always say that I'm sure those camels probably came off like the property of some eccentric millionaire who has weird exotic pets, right? But like, I've lived like literally a few blocks away from Zoo Miami for, I don't know, last 5 years or so, and I'm just always waiting for the day that something's going to get loose and be walking down my street, because I'd be one of the first neighborhoods they would go through. It still hasn't happened to me yet, but a texter wrote in, can you imagine if a pygmy hippo escapes from the zoo and is seen waddling down 152nd Street?
Oh, no.
Oh, hell no. Go the other way. Not hippos.
No.
Hippos. I like, I think hippos kill, like, more human beings in Africa.
Oh,
or maybe
yeah.
It's a certain country in Africa.
Yeah,
they kill more human beings in Africa than any other animal.
Have you seen that video where, like, the hippo goes under the water and, like, the boat's actually going, like, at a good speed? And the hippo's right there, and all of a sudden just jumps up, and I'm like, hell nah, no way.
Just like what I'm always afraid of, but we haven't been like really badly hit, knock on wood, by a hurricane in a very long time. But what I would always imagine is, like, if we do get a really bad one, me living where I live, that's when I would see like the camels and the lions and the tigers going down the street, right? If you get a really, really bad storm and it sets all those things free, man. That would be the day that would get to me.
That's when I'm out, man. If I start seeing Noah's Ark, now I'm out.
Yeah, seriously. That's what it would be like.
Listen, remember, well, again, we all remember this, but remember during Katrina when the levees broke? Could you imagine like just the gators that people didn't see?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Like, could you imagine
point.
That? Ooh. Crazy, wow. Right?
And it like, was it Jumanji?
Yeah.
Back in the day where, you know, the animals are going down the street and it's like, is that a monkey going driving a cop car?
Yeah.
That would be like, I mean, look, and that's why all the pythons are here, right?
Yeah.
Because Andrew.
Yeah, you know, speaking of that, it's funny you bring that up because, I lived down here during Andrew. I grew up in Palmetto Bay, like got hit really bad down there in South Dade. And the next morning, where we go outside the house for the first time, we're like checking out. We got a pool back there. And there was a Burmese python in the pool.
Whoa.
There you go.
Yeah. So we had to get, it took a couple days to get, like, an animal person out there to, like, to get rid of it. And they even told us, like, oh, just so you know, these things, like, aren't supposed to live here, so this must have been someone's pet.
Wow.
Right?
Boy.
I mean, it was gigantic. It was in our pool, just swimming around.
I can imagine.
And we couldn't see it right away because the pool was, like, completely green and disgusting because of everything that got in there. But we see this freaking python.
Oh, man.
It was absolutely ridiculous, man. But yeah, no, they aren't we like you were bringing it up? Like we're basically like pythons basically made this their home, even though they weren't supposed to live here.
It's open season on pythons right now. The state will actually pay you if you catch them. And there's actually a show. It's like Guardians of the Gables or Guardians of the Glades.
Oh, nice.
And the dude doesn't wear any. He don't wear any shoes.
Really?
He goes out in the Everglades hunting pythons.
Oh no!
Barefoot.
Jeez,
and I'm crazy. Like, you know, my man. There's like other things there, like alligators and like different types of snakes that are poisonous. And he's just like, well, you can't feel a snake if you step on it. I'm like, oh my god,
dummy!
What?
Idiot! Of course.
Crazy. This show is actually entertaining, though. It is entertaining.
Like, if I was really down on my luck and I was like, oh, I need to start like killing some pythons to get paid for it, I'd be like the first guy who gets like choked out and strangled by the python dead. Like, I would be that guy because I would have no idea how to approach that thing. One of our texters is psychic, by the way, because I brought up before the break, single most embarrassing stat from Miami last season, the U, and the texter writes in, are you referring to third down conversions?
It had to been.
Third down conversions, and also, like, defensively, the third downs allowed were surprisingly bad. for a team with a good defense. So Barry Jackson wrote a piece about it in the Herald. He says, if you ask football coach Manny Diaz what needs to be fixed on this team, two words will quickly be mentioned. Third down. And it's not only on offense, he writes, where Miami was. Brace yourselves. 129th of 130 FBS schools in third down conversions at 27.2%. Only Akron was worse, right? Like 130 Division I schools. The only team that was worse than you out of 130 was Akron. Wow, the Zips. The Zips, right? I can imagine the Akron problems then on third down. The Hurricanes allowed defensively, which is it's uncharacteristic because, you know, Miami's defense was overall fine last year, but they allowed teams to convert on 37.2% of third down chances last year, which was 42nd in the country, much worse than their rankings in most other key defensive categories. Miami had ranked higher in previous years. Why do you guys think that they were relatively so poor defending third downs? Was it, you know, maybe a symptom of being a little bit overly aggressive but not playing enough assignment football, mm-hmm. or was it just a fluke? Like, what do you think went wrong last year?
I'll give you two things. To me, first, one of the major reasons why I think that Miami struggled defensively on third downs was because I think the offense struggled to maintain drives, and the defense got very tired because the defense had to come back on the field a lot earlier than they expected
That's
to.
True.
And another reason, too, I believe that defensively, I mean, they just gave up a lot of big plays on first and second down. And to me, if you're going to get a team into third and five or less, nine times out of ten, they're going to convert that. I mean, like, to me, like, that's a very that's a very convertible down. It really is.
Unless it's Miami's offense, then they're not going to convert that 9 out of 10 times.
So, I mean, those are my two reasons why I feel that Miami defensively struggled as far as getting off the field on third downs last
season. Yeah,
I agree
with that. The only thing I could add to that maybe is that when they're in third and long, you also had three new people in the back end. Right.
Yeah.
So you had a lot of rooks playing out there, and we saw that because there was a lot of mental mistakes and missed tackles the first couple games. Mm-hmm. You know, it still sticks out in my head where they didn't shift when it came over to the receiver screen against Florida that went to the house. Almost had two missed tackles against that. And then, of course, obviously the 4th and 17 everybody remembers from North Carolina,
where they
called the right play and they double teamed them, but in the back end they didn't know how to do their assignment football.
So I
think they're just because there was a lot of new guys in the back end, it hurt. And then, you know, Bubba Bolden came on and actually ignited that group and helped out a lot.
He did.
And then the injury, you know, took us back again. But I think once they get healthy, that is actually be a strength, the safety group for this team in the future.
Yeah, so Manny Diaz, when he was on Hurricane Hotline this week, said, not just third down, but third and longs, we surrendered. He says, we're looking into it. It's never just one thing. But you see some recurring themes. We need to determine why some players didn't play in a position as well as we thought they would. That will be a major emphasis for all of us in the offseason to lead the nation in third down defense and have it drop. So the year before, they led the nation in third down defense, and then to have it drop so sharply, that's what you're looking for answers for. The scheme is sound, he says. And I would tend to agree with that. Listen, I know that that some people you're always looking for a scapegoat, fans. And,
absolutely.
You know, when they saw the defense have some tough moments and give up some third and longs and fourth and longs, a lot of people will just be lazy and point the finger at Blake Baker. It all must be a Blake Baker problem. But, Rashad, as you always say, it's like you can only blame coaching for so many things. And
I agree.
At a certain point, whether it be the offense letting the defense down or some defensive players just not being – sound in their assignments, maybe you take a third and long for granted sometimes when you're doing so well prior to that you do have to put the spotlight on some of these players as well, because I agree with Diaz. I thought the scheme was sound, and you know what, the scheme didn't change a whole lot from when Diaz was the defensive coordinator the year prior. So I think people try to use, you know, coordinators and coaches as a scapegoat. Now I think offensively there was something to that, right? Because I'm certainly not going to defend Dan Enos on this show, because you know, when the offense was as uninspired, uncreative, non-creative, and just as brutally bad in every category as it was last year, yeah, heads have got to roll after something like that. And I think there's a reason why, even though I think some fans were a little bit misguided putting so much blame on Blake Baker on the defensive side, I don't think the Dan Enos criticisms were unwarranted, and clearly Manny Diaz saw it the same way, because he didn't make it through the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, they were a little stagnant in offense. You know, I was kind of surprised and shocked because one thing Daniels did a great job when he was at Arkansas was red zone offense and scoring touchdowns and putting points on the board, and he was putrid here.
Yeah.
And then also I didn't think it helped out that we had so many new offensive linemen. We got no push up front, so we really didn't have a short game running at all. And the number one fullback we were supposed to have never stepped foot on the field. So a lot of those things didn't help, but we also didn't execute when there was a good play call. Like, you know, I remember when I think it was Will Mallory missed the block or Pope missed the block out wide. Uh-huh. The guy would have went for a touchdown, but we didn't execute. It was a good call, but it just wasn't executed. So I think it was a blend of a little bit of both.
To me, when it comes to Dan Enos, the only thing I think he failed to do as a coach, as the offensive coordinator, is he failed to really play to the strengths of his playmakers.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I felt like I felt like at times Dan Enos just felt that he was back at Alabama and he had all of those weapons that Alabama has that
makes them
so good.
Every position. Yeah.
And I just feel like when you're an offensive coordinator, your job is to come in, look at every single player from the offensive line to the skill positions and really see what does each guy do well and how can I bring out the best in each guy. And I just felt at times Dan Enos, he didn't do that. And he just became too stagnant to what he was used to running at Alabama or working with when he was at Alabama.
Yeah, because even in the Florida game, you're like, yo, you're keeping both these freshman tackles one-on-one with potential first and second round defensive end. Like, give him some help. Do what you did in the very first drive, right? Uh-huh. He was getting the ball out quick. He was running screens. He was running drag routes and everything else. Like, then he changed it. He's like, okay, now we can go 5-7-7 step. No, we cannot.
Yeah.
We cannot go 7-7 against this defense. Like, get the ball out quick or chip, help out, and move the ball downfield. So I'm with you on that. He just get comfortable, and you're like, this is not Alabama.
It's not.
You can run that at Alabama because you have a first-round tackle in Willis out there, Leatherwood's on the other side. Like, you can run that. You can't run that here.
No. Nope.
You just couldn't.
67974 is how you get us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. We're just a couple weeks away from spring practices starting up. Now, I'm going to rely on the two of you guys for some stuff because as former players, you get access that a lot of us do not. And I want to get some – even if it's off the record, I'm sorry to do this to the listeners, but even if there's some stuff you guys are able to share with me that I cannot even share to the listeners, I can't wait because I certainly want to hear – better reports from you guys on De'Ara King than we got from Tate Martell after he came in last year, because I can remember, just to take you guys behind the curtain, like everyone else, I was really pumped about, you know, Tate Martell choosing Miami, and oh, this guy was one of the highest touted recruits out of high school, you know, didn't get his chances at Ohio State for whatever reason, but he's now with the U. And then I start talking to Brian Monroe about, oh, what'd you see from Tate Martell? And you're just like, oh, he can't throw. He can't throw a spiral.
Well, listen.
And you're right. He can't.
The funniest report I got on Tate Martell. So I seen Tate Martell and I said, listen, from what I saw, I don't know whether it's nerves or whatever, but a lot of the passes I saw when I went out to the first day that they wore pads, I'm like, there was a lot of, there was a lot of fastballs and it wasn't a lot of spirals and it wasn't a lot of accuracy involved. But I remember the first scrimmage they had, Robbie went to. And we had Robbie on. It was me and I think Greg Likens. Aaron, man, Robbie was like, it looked horrible. Like, listen, wow. Robbie did not spare any. Like, Robbie went in, and I'm like, okay, I guess we have a lot of questions answered now. Like, he went in, and I remember getting off air, and I just laughed so hard. Not at Tate Martell, because I wouldn't do that, but just at the way Robbie just did not spare anything on air.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
That's great.
You're like me. I went to the second practice, and I thought it was nerves.
Yeah.
You know, you come in with a lot of hype, and you're supposed to be the man.
Yeah.
And I'm watching. I'm like, okay, that's not the best pass, but it got there. Okay, that's another one. That's
a wounded
duck. Best pass either.
Wounded duck, but it got to where it needed to go.
It's not the best pass, but it got there.
I mean, that's
Hey, listen, that's what I used to say about Ken Dorsey.
That's what it looks like.
Right? Yeah. I mean.
You know, and then all of a sudden I came back a week later, and nothing changed.
Oh, wow.
I was like, okay, I need to do some investigating. So I talked to actually a coach that recruited him out of high school. And they said, listen, we all loved him because he improvises and he can get out of this, you know, out of jams and stuff like that. They go, but still wasn't the best passer coming out of high school.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, how do you get a guy like Urban Meyer to recruit him at Ohio State?
Yeah, seriously.
And they're like, well, Urban Meyer thinks he can mold any recruit that can move.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I can
sense.
Put him in the system and make it work.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, well, I see why he got beat out there, because you're talking about Dwayne Haskins and Joe Burrow.
Well, and this offense is not really going to help him, because don't you have to have a quick release and some accuracy to thrive in a spread? Like,
so this is actually an offense that he would thrive in, right? Because Dan Enos' offense is timing, accuracy type concepts. This is spread you out, less numbers in the box, so if it's not there, I can suck and run.
But if he still can't throw, like, does he have a quick release? Like, I don't think he can get rid of the football quickly enough.
Here's the problem.
That's my thing.
We
with
all
him.
Watched the Louisiana Tech game.
Yeah.
Right? Remember when he went for the one series?
Yeah, and he was just running around like a chicken with his head cut off.
And then there was the linebacker that came up, and he only shook himself. He didn't even shake the linebacker.
Yeah.
Like, he did the shake move, and all he did was go back and forth. And I'm like, he didn't shake nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah, so listen, when it comes down to it, and you compare those two quarterbacks, Derek King, Tate Martell.
Oh, it's night and day.
It's not even close.
Yeah. No, it's,
you know,
it's not.
Tate Martell's hype comes from high school and the film, the whole nine yards. Derek King comes from college and what he was able to do at Houston.
Yeah.
And against Power Five, because he did play some big-time Power Fives, Oklahoma, everybody else, and put up some numbers. And the kid's electric. You know, he's a dynamic runner and passer. Now let's just see if they can actually execute everybody, all 11. Because if a lineman doesn't pick up the blitz or the receiver doesn't catch it on second down, you can't run the tempo.
Well, to me, the only thing I think – well, I wouldn't say the only thing, but one of the biggest things I'm really excited for in watching De'Eriq King this fall is his ability to mitigate pressure. Meaning, like, if someone gets beat, you know that this guy has enough skill – to make the first man miss probably make something out of nothing. And I don't think Miami has ever had that at that position.
Listen, I'm bringing popcorn to practice, so I'm going to enjoy that. I don't know if you've seen that meme where the guy comes out with the lawn chair at the soccer game and he pulls it out. Like, that's going to be me at practice with some popcorn.
67974 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Big 9 o'clock hour coming up. Today is the anniversary of arguably the biggest upset in the history of sports. We'll share that plus some of my other favorites with you when we come back here on 790 The Ticket.